Exodus chapter 14, verse number 13 through verse 16. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." What he was saying in the vernacular of today is that it's time to move on. It's time to go forward. "But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." I want to preach to you on this theme tonight. It's time to move on. Hallelujah. I said, it's time to move on. How many of you are ready to move on? It's time to go forward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Would you be seated tonight? Praise the Lord. A time to move. A time to move. That I think sometimes that as a church, that we have waited. It seems like that we've been waiting ever since the beginning. How many of you feel like in your however long that you've lived, that you have been keeping the waiting room? How many ever feel like that you're in charge of the waiting room? That we're always waiting on something. The Bible tells us of a man that was at the pool of Bethesda. And he was waiting on a move of the angel of the Lord that the waters might be troubled. But every time that there was a move, every time the waters were troubled, that he found that he could not get into the water before someone else beat him to it. And so his whole life, I think it was 38 years, that he had been waiting for a move of God. Sometimes as the church, that we talk about a move of God. We talk about revival. We talk about the moving and the falling of the Holy Ghost, and miracles, and healings, and salvation. Amen. But we're always waiting for something to happen. Waiting for a move of God. Waiting for the Holy Ghost to come on the scene. Well, I want to inform you that the Holy Ghost is already moving. Amen. God is already here. That we are waiting, amen, when God is wanting us to move on. God says it's time to begin to move in the Spirit. It's time to begin, amen, to take authority over the forces of hell. And to ask God to do His wonderful, mighty works in our midst. Israel had waited for some 400 years to be delivered out of bondage. And finally the day came, and God sent a man by the name of Moses to deliver His children out of bondage. This was a historic moment. It was according to the plan and the pattern that God had already established. God chose Moses. Moses did not choose to be the leader of the children of Israel. In fact, he was very reluctant to go. That Moses began to make excuses for why he could not be the one to bring deliverance to the nation. I'm afraid that for far too long, the church has been guilty of making excuses for why we cannot have a move of the Holy Ghost, why we cannot experience the power of God and the moving of the Spirit and revival in these last days. Amen. God is looking for men that are willing to step out on faith. Men that are willing to accept the mantle of responsibility and allow the anointing of God to cause them to move in the power of the Spirit. For 400 years they had waited for deliverance. And now when the time had come, now when the time of her deliverance was at hand, they only murmured and complained. In fact, we find the first instance of grumbling and complaining among the children of Israel is at the moment of their greatest victory. They were camped on the shore of the Red Sea, and God was about to open a path of deliverance whereby Israel could escape the bondage of Egypt, that they were going to put Egypt forever behind them. No more, amen, would they ever see their Egyptian pursuers again, because God was going to show Himself mighty. He was going to deliver them by His own right arm. He was going to display His power and His grandeur and His glory. It was at that precise moment in time, amen, when Israel was right where God wanted them to be. Sometimes we can be right where God wants us to be, but we don't like the accommodations. It was no accident that God led them to stop where they stopped. The Bible says that the Lord led them and He caused them to camp at a place called Pi-Heroth, between Migdal and the sea. That's where God led them, and that's where Israel camped. But when they looked around them, they saw a great expanse of water before them. They saw mountains on their left, and they saw mountains on their right. And when it appeared that things couldn't get any worse, they looked behind them and they saw the armies of Pharaoh pursuing hard after them to destroy them and prevent them from escape. And Israel became terrified. They began in fear to call upon God. Because of their lack of faith, they began to cry out unto God for deliverance, and they began to murmur and complain against Moses and against the Lord. Oh, God forbid that we should rather die in slavery and bondage in the utter darkness and blackness of Egypt rather than be willing to be led out, amen, by great and mighty deliverance. But they would have rather died in the land of Egypt as slaves than to die in the wilderness being led by God. This is the first instance of Israel grumbling and complaining. You see, in order to be free of your fears, to be free of your bondage to the world. First, you must learn to overcome your fear by obtaining faith in God. The Bible says that we must believe that He is. I believe tonight that we serve a living God. That the God that we serve is not a dead God. He's not a God that's on vacation. He's not a God that's far removed. But He's very near unto us. All we have to do is call upon His name. And God is willing and He is able to bring deliverance and salvation. We have to overcome our fear. We have to quit fearing failure. God did not call us to fail. God called us to be victorious. The church is not going to crumble. It's not going to become irrelevant. But the church of the living God is going to raise its banner high. Because when the enemy comes against us like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? We've got to get free of our fear. Fear will paralyze us so that we're afraid to move forward. Amen. We need to be willing to move into the realm of the Holy Ghost, and where God can work. We already know that God is a real God. We already know that God is faithful, that it is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come unto eternal life. It's time, amen, that we quit just thinking about revival. It's time that we begin to get involved in the things that bring revival. We need the kind of faith, the kind of dedication, the kind of commitment, amen, that can bring about change in our world. Can you say praise the Lord? And so God, amen, had them exactly where He wanted them to be. But they weren't comfortable. You know, God never said that you had to be comfortable to be in His will. In fact, I find men and women of God that often found themselves in very uncomfortable situations in order to fulfill the will of God. David wasn't all that comfortable going out on the field of battle against the mighty Goliath. All that he had in his hand was a sling and 5 smooth stones. Goliath was a man of battles. He was a mighty warrior. Stood over 9 feet tall. Had a spear like a weaver's beam, the Bible says. And a great sword in his hand. And an armor bearer that went before him. But one thing that David had that Goliath didn't have. You may not feel like you are equipped, amen, to fight the battle. You may not feel like that you look very formidable to the enemy. But it's not what you appear to be. It's not what the world sees. It's not what men see. It's knowing that you're not alone. Amen. David knew that he wasn't fighting the giant by himself. But he said, I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. We're not fighting this battle alone. But we're fighting this battle equipped with the power of the Holy Ghost, and greater is He that's within you than he that is within the world. Hallelujah. And so we come to our text tonight. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. We've got to overcome fear. Fear is the very opposite of faith. Fear is allowing doubt. Fear is allowing what could be to occupy your mind and to cause you to stumble at the commandment of God, to stumble at the promises of God, to stumble, amen, at the provision of God. I want you to know that nothing can keep us from having revival. Nothing can keep us from being victorious. Nothing can keep us from seeing miracles and signs and wonders except our own lack of faith. The Bible says that Jesus did not many miracles in Nazareth because of their unbelief. We've got to overcome our fears. We've got to quit fearing failure. Well, we got to quit envisioning, amen, calamity and distress and hardship. Amen. And we need to begin to believe, amen, that God, the God that we serve, is able to tear down the walled cities. That He's able, amen, to slay the giants. That He's able to overcome the chariots of iron. That He's able to defeat the enemy, amen, in the mountain or in the valley. It doesn't matter where the enemy picks the fight, because the God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. You may be walking in the low places of the world. You may be going through a valley, but I want you to know, even in the valley, the Lord is there. He'll give you the victory. He'll give you the ability to overcome the enemy of your soul. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to be free of our fear. Oh God, deliver us from fear. The only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will keep you from standing upon the promises of God. Fear will keep you in the recesses of your home and keep you from venturing out and being a witness for Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, if you will become bold as a lion, if you allow the Holy Ghost to get a hold of you and you'll get passionate about souls, there's nothing that can stop the apostolic church from turning the world upside down. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Moses told the people, "Fear ye not, and stand still." Sometimes we just need to stop and look and listen. You ever heard that before? Stop. Look and listen. It's all right there in verse 13. First he said, stand still. Everybody say stop. And then he said, see. Everybody say look. And then after he said, look, he said, listen. Amen. He began to tell them, amen, the things that God was about to do if only they could believe the Lord. Amen. We need to get a hold of ourselves. We allow fear, amen, to envision all kinds of danger and to conjure up images of battles that we're fighting, that we are at a disadvantage. The devil will put all kinds of thoughts in your head that will cause you to doubt, amen, the success of what God has promised you. But I want you to know that nothing that the devil can do, nothing that the devil can say, amen, can ever prevent us from doing the thing that God said that He had called us to do. Jesus said that we were to go and we were to disciple all nations. And that in going we were to heal the sick. That we were to cast out devils. Amen. That we were, amen, to do great and mighty works in His name. Why? Because He ordained it. He commissioned us. He sent us forth and to proclaim the gospel. And the Bible says wherever they went proclaiming the gospel, that the Lord confirmed the word with signs following. Is that what your Bible says? Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe that God is any different today than He was then? Do you believe that God is any less God? Amen. The Holy Ghost is any less Holy Ghost at miracles or any less miracle? Amen. At the power of God is any less the power of God? I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That what He did there, that He's able to do now. Amen. And He's able to do tomorrow. God wants us to just stop. Stand still. Amen. Consider the glory and the power of God. When we begin to see God, amen, like God wants us to see Him. Amen. Then we're not going to look like grasshoppers in the sight of the enemy. We're not going to look like grasshoppers in our sight anymore. Amen. If we'll look at God instead of looking at us. Amen. If we'll get our eyes on how big our God is and how marvelous are His works and how great is His power. Amen. We just need to stop and consider who we are serving. That we serve a God that cannot fail. He's a God that created the heavens. He's a God that spake the worlds into existence. He's the same God that opened the blinded eyes and unstopped the deaf ears. That is the God that we serve tonight. We need to stop and realize who we are. Oh, hallelujah. We need to stop, amen, and recognize that we're not serving a dead God. That we're not serving a God that was fashioned by the imagination of man. But we're serving the one true and living God. My Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. We need to stop and we need to look. Moses said, and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if you'll just look at the things that God has done, just look around you and see the salvation of the Lord. The Bible said even the angels desire to look in to what we have. Amen. That the angels of heaven, amen, are inquisitive about this Holy Ghost. Salvation. You just need to look around you and behold the wonder of God. Oh, hallelujah. Stop. Look. And listen. Amen. Clean the wax out of your ears. Get a long cotton swab and dig deep. And get out everything, amen, that affects your hearing. That hearing is important. How many of you realize how important hearing is? Amen. Now, seeing is very important. But oh, there's nothing quite so important as hearing. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear apostolic preaching. We need to hear, thus saith the Lord. Because my Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we need more faith, we need to hear more of the Word of God. We need to hear preaching that's anointed, that's on fire. Hallelujah. That's powerful. That's able to shatter the rock into pieces because the Word of God is powerful. Hallelujah. Stop. Look and listen. And learn to wait upon the Lord. Now, Moses goes on to say, after he told them to stop and to look and to listen, then he said, "For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." The enemy that you're afraid of today, the enemy that keeps you out of the mainstream, the thing that keeps you from being the man of God or the woman of God that God wants you to be. The enemy, the excuse that you give for why you can't teach Sunday school, why you can't teach a home Bible study, why you can't invite someone to the house of God, why you can't pray people through around these altars. That same enemy, God said, "I'm going to destroy that enemy and you will see them no more." It's time to rid ourselves of the enemy. It's time to get rid of our excuses. It's time to get rid, amen, of everything that would hinder us from having a great and mighty revival. Because today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. All those things that have you all bound up. Amen. He said, "You're not going to see them anymore. The things that have held you back. Amen. That prevented you from singing in the choir. The things that have kept you from the prayer room. Amen. And getting a hold of God. Amen. Whatever enemies it was that's been holding you back, that's been keeping this church from entering into the revival that God promised this church. Whatever it is, amen, God said, "I'm fixing to remove your excuses. I'm fixing to remove your hindrance. I'm fixing to remove your stumbling block. And you will see them no more." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness from somebody tonight? Hallelujah. Does anybody believe in revival? Does anybody believe in the one God, apostolic, tongue-talking salvation? Hallelujah. But we have to learn to be patient. The Lord is going to do all these things. Verse 14, Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall," what? "Hold your peace." You've got to learn to wait on God. Or you've got to learn to wait on God. You're not going to sing it down. You're not going to shout it down. You're not going to dance like a bunch of wild Indians until it starts raining. Amen. You can't sing down the power of God. You can't dance down the power of God. You can't shout down the power of God. Amen. Just be still. Now, the whole hardest thing for apostolics, Pentecostal people to do is to be still. If I was preaching to someone else and I told them to just be still, be at peace, amen, they would understand what I was talking about. But you apostolic don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Just be still. Amen, that's hard for apostolics to do, Brother Bacon. But Moses said, the Lord's going to fight your battles. The Lord is going to defeat your enemies. The Lord is going to lead you out. The Lord is going to deliver you. If you've got if you've got something that's binding you, amen, that you're not going to sing it away. You're not going to shout it away. You're not going to dance it away. But I want you to know that the power of God is able to deliver you of whatever addiction, whatever it is that binds you. God is able to break those chains. God is able to bring you complete and total deliverance. But you've got to learn to wait on God. Amen. You need to learn like Paul and Silas did. Instead of getting all bent out of shape. You know, if we were in jail, that some of us, we would be getting beside ourselves. We'd begin to look for an exit. We'd begin to think up some kind of a strategy how we could get out of this place. You're not going to accomplish revival, amen, by programs. You're not going to organize revival by having some kind of master plan. Programs won't bring revival. Amen. A well-thought plan of action, that's a good thing, but that's not going to bring revival. The only way, amen, that you're going to break out of these walls, the only way that you're going to be loosed from your bonds, is to learn to praise the Lord and give Him all the glory. The Bible says that Paul and Silas began to praise the Lord at midnight. And suddenly there was a shaking in the prison house. Hallelujah. And their bonds fell off. And the jail doors were burst asunder. And they were free. Why? Because they learned to wait on God. Amen. When God steps through the door, amen, there's no doubt, amen, that He is there. They knew that it was an act of God. When God moves in the miraculous, amen, you don't have to convince anybody. No amount of debate is necessary. Amen. They knew that a miracle had taken place. Amen. It was obvious to everybody. Those on the inside of the jail and those on the outside of the jail. On the day of Pentecost, they didn't know what had happened, but they knew that something mighty had taken place. They knew that something like that had never taken place before. Amen. Because it was a divine and sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because you see, they were waiting on God. Hallelujah. You see, Brother Hart, it seems like we've been waiting all this time. We've been waiting for a long time for end time revival. We've been waiting a long time to see people being filled around our altars and souls being liberated and set free from bondage and sin. We've been waiting a long time. But just wait a little bit more. Just hold your peace. And the Lord said, and this is the verse that I want us to focus on tonight. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Prayer teaches us to be patient. Prayer teaches us, amen, to wait upon God. Because to everything there's a season and a time under the heavens for everything that takes place. We pray and we ask God. We seek His face. We pray, Lord, not our will, but Thy will be done. And as such, prayer is a vital part of serving God. How many believe in prayer? I don't believe that you can pray too long. I don't believe that prayer is ever going to be something that we can discard and lay aside. Prayer is vital. Prayer is our lifeline. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. But you're not going to like what I'm about to say. There's a time to pray. And there is a time, amen, for action. There is a time to put some legs under your prayers. Because you see, sometimes we use prayer as an excuse for procrastination. How many of you already know how to have revival? If you know how to have revival, I want you to stand. That's really putting it on the spot. All right. Now look around. Amen. That's just about everybody. We know how to have revival. Amen. Everybody stand now. The musicians, go ahead and come. Amen. We know, amen, what God's will and what God's purpose is. How many believe that it's the will of God for us to have revival? Then why in the world are we praying, Lord, if it's your will? We already know it's the will of God. Sometimes we simply use prayer as an excuse for not doing the things that we already know to do. Because it's easier to pray sometimes than it is to put our prayer into action. We pray, God, give us revival, but we're not willing to knock any doors. We pray, oh God, give us revival, but God forbid that some little Sunday school kid would put their feet on our seats in our brand new car. We pray for revival, but we can't find our way to the prayer room because I guess that it's not well marked. We pray for revival, but we fail to read our Bibles. We fail to have daily communion with God. We pray for revival, but we fail to make commitment to be faithful to God's house. We pray for revival, but we begrudge every dime and every nickel that we have to drop in the collection plate. We pray for revival, but we complain about how hard it is to live for God. We pray for revival, but we find fault with our brother and our sister. And we crucify them and backbite them while we pray for revival. We use prayer as an excuse. Prayer is supposed to change us. We're not trying to change God. There's not nothing wrong with God. Some of us pray like we're trying to change God. I'm not trying to change God. I want God to change me. I want God to work on my heart. I want God to work on my attitude. I want God to work on my spirit. It's time to stop praying.
Yeah, come on, honey.
Just softly. God sometimes sees through the facade of our prayers. The Lord said to Moses, Moses, it's time to stop praying. And it's time to start obeying what I've commanded you to do. God said, Moses, why are you crying to me? Why are you praying? It's time to march. Hallelujah. It's time to move on. It's time to go forward and to begin to accomplish the things that we already know that it is His will and His desire for us to do. Praying will accomplish a lot of things, but if prayer does not spur us into action, then prayer is in vain. Prayer ought to motivate us to be a soul winner. Prayer ought to motivate us to read our Bibles. Prayer ought to motivate us, amen, to give willingly of our substance and of our time.
Yes, amen.
Because if prayer doesn't change you, then you have missed out on the main purpose of prayer and what it was meant to do. God said, Moses, I want you to stop praying. And he said, I want you to tell the children of Israel, it's time to move forward. How many are ready to move? Hallelujah. It's time, amen, to teach some Bible studies. It's time to witness. It's time to share the gospel. It's time to find the prayer room. It's time to make a commitment to godly service. It's time to be faithful unto God and to be faithful to one another. It's time to move on. It's time to quit making excuses. It's time to quit blaming Sister so-and-so and Brother so-and-so for why we can't have revival. No, that's not why we can't have revival. The reason we can't have revival is because we can't move on. Amen. We're still nursing grudges. We're still nursing old hurts. We're still nursing, amen, differences between us. And until there's unity, until there's love, until there's forgiveness in the body of Christ, there'll be no revival. If you want a revival, you go to your brother and you go to your sister that you have all against and you've been talking about and you've been belittling and you've been criticizing. If you want to have revival, then put some legs on your prayers or shut up and stay out of the prayer room. God doesn't want to hear your self-righteous prayers. God doesn't want to hear your sanctimonious piety. God wants to see a change in your heart and in your life. If you want to have revival, then God, let it begin with me. Draw a circle around you and say, God, revival's going to begin right here. Right now, today, I'm going to right every wrong. Right now, I'm going to do the things that I already know to do. Because I want to have revival. It's time to move on. It's time to go forward. It's time to experience the blessings that God would have us to have. Would you come around these altars tonight? Would you seek the Lord? Would you love Him? For the way to revival is through love, through commitment, through sacrifice, through service. If you want to really have revival, say, God, you've got to change me. You've got to shape me. You've got to make me into what you want me to be. It's time.